are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington, and joining me as always is Mike Gilletto.
You're getting good at that.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy? How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Now, before we dive into today's show, I'm here to tell you that you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, and thelastwordonsports.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can follow me at K Collington and Mike at Mike underscore Gilletto. Now at Mike underscore Gilletto. Let's get into the show.
Let's jump right in.
Yeah. So, Phillies are probably are hurting right now.
Yeah. I mean, they're finding ways to just hand over games.
Yeah. Remember 2 weeks ago when we were like convinced that they were winning the division, making the playoff, making a run, maybe going to the NLCS. It doesn't really look like that now, does it?
No, I mean, they're still, what, 3 games back, so...
Yeah, it's still super doable.
Of course. And the Braves are starting to lose some games, too.
Yeah, yeah, and the nice thing is, we're a young team, the Braves are a young team. They're gonna hit the same patches we hit, right? Yeah. They're gonna hit the same rough patches we do with their young guys. So there's definitely still a chance, but... It's 3 games. We do play the Braves, I think, 2 series toward the end of the season.
Yeah, they're going to be huge. So you play a lot of division games down the stretch.
Yeah, so those series are going to be for the division, probably. Like yeah. That last series they play with the Braves could very well be for the NL East crown.
Yeah, wow. So they have, on September 20th, they start a 4-game set in Atlanta.
Yep.
And then they go 4 in Colorado, yep. And then they're back in Philly for another 3 in against Atlanta.
And that closes out the season?
That closes out the season.
Yeah,
so
that last series could be for the crown, especially if that 4-game set, if you split that series and go to Colorado, win a couple games, you come back and you're playing 2 out of 3 for the divisional crown.
I mean, 7 out of the last 11 games are against the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
It's
almost like MLB new.
All right. So those 2 series are going to be ginormous.
Yeah, how far back is Washington right now?
Washington is...
We're recording on Sunday morning before Sunday games start.
Yeah, the Eagles... Or not the Eagles, jeez. The Phillies we'll do play. That. The Phillies do play a 1 o'clock game
okay.
today.
Well, we're going to miss that. So you guys all heard that before.
Right. The Nationals are 8.5 back of the Braves. So
8.5 back of the Braves, so 5.5 back of the Phillies.
Right, they traded Daniel Murphy.
Yep.
They went into sell mode.
Yeah, which I was stunned by.
I mean, he's an older veteran player.
Should people have put claims in on him?
They did.
Okay. To block the trade?
Well, no. The MLB's different where... Because Harper went through waivers and and the Dodgers claimed them. And then you have to work out like a negotiation.
Right.
And that's what the Cubs did for Daniel Murphy.
It's super weird.
It's a weird thing in baseball.
It's a super and we saw strange system.
Yeah, you saw it with Verlander last year.
Where Verlander cleared.
No, they...
Didn't he?
No. Nah.
I thought Verlander cleared him.
No, I'm pretty sure the Astros claimed them, and then you have to work out like a trade or
a
something.
A trade after that. Okay.
Yeah, because Harper did clear. I'm sorry.
No, Harper did
not clear. Harper didn't clear, but then they couldn't work out a trade. Right. The Dodgers tried to get him.
Okay. But that makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, they tried to do something with Harper.
They tried to get some value for him.
Yeah. And then they did trade Murphy. So they're sell mode. And then one of the encouraging things about that Washington series is Nola went toe for toe with Scherzer.
He did. He
two nothing games, eight innings.
Proved that he should be in the NL Cy Young conversation. Now, whether he wins it or not is a whole different debate because there is the Max Scherzers and there are other pitchers in the NL.
DeGrom's having a hell of a year.
Right, for a bad team though. That's the thing.
Yeah, but he's got like a 1.7 ERA, which is unheard of.
Right.
It's unheard of.
And we kind of talked about it towards the end of the NHL season. Like, does Connor McDavid deserve an MVP nomination even if his team misses the playoffs?
Right.
And he ended up getting one. He ended up not winning it, but he ended up getting one. So does DeGrom get a Cy Young nomination even though the team he plays on is atrocious?
Pitchers are different though, because you pitch every fifth day.
Right, exactly. Like, Connor McDavid played every single Oilers game. And part of the reason that they lost sometimes was that he was on the ice for every loss.
Right.
Jake DeGrom hasn't been on the field for every Mets loss this year.
No, and I think he's something along the lines of 8-9. He's right around 500.
But yeah, on a bad team, it's less about the record and more about the ERA and the batting average against, which I'm sure is ridiculous for him.
Yeah.
He has had a ludicrous season. But yeah, so the Phillies are kind of just doing their thing. Just trying to win series. If you win every series from here on out, you're probably going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
If you win 2 out of 3 from here on out, you're going to make the playoffs.
100%. So, it's...
Regardless, I feel pretty good about my bet that they finish over 500.
Yeah.
I think they're 15 games over 500.
I just had it up.
Something along those lines.
Hold on.
So I feel pretty good about that. Scott, I look forward to seeing you, you know, hearing you in a couple weeks.
They're 9 games over 500.
Nine games over 500?
69, nice. And 60.
I don't imagine that this team loses that. I think they finish above 500.
Yeah, I mean, again, they're handing games away, which is so... It's just such a big time of the year. Yeah.
And who just got
for
hurt?
That to happen?
Ramos?
Ramos is starting to work his way back.
He's starting to work his way back. Boer just got hurt.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked about those guys as two big deadline-ish acquisitions. And the fact that you're down them hurts.
Yeah.
But if you get them back, you still have plenty of time to make a push.
Right. But it's just... They're just a bullpen has been an issue. Sir Anthony's, I think, blown 4 or 5 saves since in the month of August alone.
Yep.
So he was luckily the same player that he did when he first got called up.
This shines off him a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, he blew a save, I think, on Friday. And then their bullpen gave up the game on Saturday. Yep. And then to the Nationals, the ninth inning home run by, I think it was Zimmerman.
Yeah, that was a heartbreaker.
Was it Zimmerman? Rendon? Yeah. One of them.
Now, speaking of teams that need some work. The Eagles are 0-3 in the postseason, or in the preseason.
Yeah.
And it's the preseason.
Yeah.
But when,
I'm
when you lose to the Cleveland Browns 5-0,
it's
the ugliest score I've ever seen.
It is. It's a baseball score. That's all it is. It's what it is.
It's like a bad hockey game.
Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of Eagles fans and Eagles
There's
Twitter.
There's a lot of
and,
the sky is falling.
Yeah, I don't put any stock into preseason football.
No.
Like, zero.
No, me neither.
The playbook is very slimmed down.
Yep.
Scaled back a ton. We've seen it with Peterson when the regular season, when the games matter, he opens that thing up.
Yep. And then in the Super Bowl, he opens it up even further.
Right. I mean, even
in the NFC Championship game, you opened it up to that flea flicker.
Yeah. And even when, I mean, when Wentz went down and Foles came in for the 1 or 2 games,
yeah.
Foles looked dreadful.
Oh, yeah. They tightened up the playbook a little bit to let him ease his way in.
And then they won the
and
Super
he
Bowl.
Awful.
And then he has the next, you know, great 3 game. Well, yep. 2.5. But I put zero stock in the preseason. I mean, Wentz, who knows if he's ready or not?
Now, if Carson's 95% ready week one, do you put him in? After seeing how bad Nick Foles has been?
No.
I think going into the season, I think the obvious answer was wait until Wentz is 100% because Foles just won the Super Bowl MVP.
He
was really good in the playoffs. But after the first couple of preseason games, a lot of fans are saying Wentz at 90% is better than Foles at 100%.
No, I still think I'd go Foles over Wentz at 95.
Like, I absolutely agree with you.
I want Wentz. I think Wentz's long-term health is a lot more important than that one game in Atlanta.
I would rather lose 3 out of the first 4.
Or not in Atlanta, against Atlanta.
I would rather lose 3 out of the first 4 with Carson Wentz
on
the sideline.
This team just won their first ever Super Bowl, and it's like we forget already.
And the fans are already ready to into the Delaware.
This team could go 0-16, and I'd be a little upset.
We're set for life.
I'd be fine.
No, we're set for life.
I'd be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they just won the Super Bowl.
For the longest time, this team had literally never won a Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, 52 years into the existence of the Super Bowl, we finally get one. We're good.
Right.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Now I'm hearing, I'm going to be disappointed if this team doesn't repeat. Do you know how hard it is to repeat a Super Bowl?
Especially when
you've never done it before?
The only way I'm disappointed is if somehow this team misses the playoffs, which I don't think is likely. Not if Carson's back by week 5.
Yeah, because I don't think the division's all that great.
No, the division's awful.
Like Washington.
Don't tell me that the Dallas Cowboys are a threat. The national media seems to think that they're a good team. I don't think they have more than six wins this year. If Dak bounces back to
his rookie year, they could be something to compete with.
I think Dallas caps out at 6 wins this year.
They could be something to compete with if Dak goes back to his rookie season, which I don't think he does. He's not a good quarterback.
No, the Cowboys suck.
Their offensive line isn't as good as it was last year and 2 years ago.
Yeah, when Dak got beat around. Yeah.
So, and then the Giants, I think they got better by adding Saquon Barkley.
It doesn't make you worse.
Right. But Eli Manning.
But Eli Manning is 600 years old and doesn't have an offensive line in front of him.
And then Washington, they're an older team. They can't really run the ball that much. And I don't buy Alex Smith. I mean, I know he had decent seasons in Kansas City.
Yeah.
but I don't know if
that in San Francisco.
I don't know if he's that much of an upgrade over Kirk Cousins. I mean, I'm not a huge Cousins fan, but
I think either way, you're dealing with mediocre quarterbacks. One might be slightly more right. mediocre than the other, but neither one of them is good.
So I think that I mean, the playoffs at this point should happen if you get wins for 12 games.
The Eagles should. Now I say should win 4 out of 6 in the division.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it.
And in this division, that's a huge chunk of the way to the playoffs.
Right.
You only have to go 500 in your other 10 games, and you could probably make the playoffs at 9-7. Right?
Yeah.
If you win 5 out of 6 in the division, you go 500 the rest of the way, you're cruising into the playoffs at 10-6. The division's not good. I don't think the Cowboys have more than 7 wins. I don't think the Giants have more than 5 wins. And then the Redskins are the Redskins. They're always terrible.
Right, exactly.
I think the Eagles make the playoffs, and it's not even close.
Now, do you want to try to predict the record real quick? I mean, do you want to do that now? Yeah, or you want to save it?
We're gonna go through this. You read the game, and I'll tell you win or loss, and I'll keep track of how many wins.
All right. So you got Week 1, Thursday, opening game to the Atlanta Falcons.
Loss.
Okay. Then you are in Tampa against the Bucks.
Win.
Okay. Then you are at home against the Indianapolis Colts.
Win.
Okay, then you are away in Tennessee.
Win.
Okay, home against the vaunted Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I'll take that as your L. That's your second L.
Then you're in New York against the Giants.
Win.
Okay. And you're at home against Carolina.
That might be another L.
Okay, what are you at right now?
4-3.
Oh, wow. Okay, and then you are in London against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Big old W.
Okay.
30-point win.
All right, there you go. Then then you got your bye. Then you come home to face the Dallas Cowboys.
Win.
Okay, and then you are in New Orleans.
I think that's your upset loss. I'll hand that.
I don't even know if that's really an upset because by
week 12 the teams are going to look so different anyway. So
but I mean,
I'll call that an L.
Okay. Then you are home against the New York Giants.
Here's your division loss.
Okay. Then you are home against the Washington Redskins.
Win.
Then you are away in Dallas.
Win.
Okay. Then you are away against the Los Angeles Rams.
Win.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you're home against the Houston Texans.
Win.
And then you are away at the Washington Redskins to end the season.
Lost because the division is locked up.
Okay. So what was the record there?
10-6.
10-6. All right, so 10-6. You heard it here first.
What do you think about that? Now, I know you might not agree with every game, but was it pretty close?
It was, there's close.
Okay, well, you can let us know what you think on Twitter at YWT Podcast. How many wins do the Eagles get this year? 8-9, 10-11, or 12+.
Right.
So maybe we'll make that our poll for the week.
Yeah, I could see that.
And obviously we won't know until, December, but I think that's a pretty good run.
Yeah, I think so.
I think if you
win, and I think 10 wins wins you the division.
I think if you win 10 games, you win the division.
Yeah, I agree.
And I sprinkled in your division losses. I think it made sense.
Yeah, that was a good prediction.
So I think I had them losing to Atlanta, Minnesota, the Giants, the Redskins,
and the Saints.
The Saints,
and then
somebody else. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Regardless, I think the Eagles go 10-6 this year.
Okay, yeah, I could see it. But I know you said something along the lines of like the Saints being an upset. I don't consider that an upset loss.
Well, we'll see how the Saints are in November.
I mean, they were one fluky play away from beating Minnesota. I mean, they should have won that game. It's a joke that Minnesota advanced, which I was fine with because I would have rather played Minnesota anyway.
They advanced to what game exactly?
To the game that they got bludgeoned.
Oh, okay.
That game. Against the Philadelphia
Patrick Robinson pick six game?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Just making sure that we're talking about the same Minnesota Vikings.
No, we are. Plenty of...
Birds!
I mean, the thing that is kind of interesting about that whole playoff run was the Eagles really shouldn't have even been in that minute.
Was it the fact that the Eagles won the Super Bowl?
That
was pretty really, interesting.
Like, I don't want to be Debbie Downer because they just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? So...
And we literally just talked about fans not trusting this team enough.
Right. But they did come... I mean, they shouldn't have gotten past Atlanta.
No.
Because,
I agree.
Because, I mean, they were down or they were up by only a couple points at the end of the game when Matt Ryan threw that little pass to Julio Jones. And 9 times out of 10, Julio makes that catch.
Yep.
It just happens the one time.
Yeah. That game was terrifying.
It was.
That's why I think Minnesota is my favorite game from the playoff run. because Atlanta, I was nervous. We probably shouldn't have won. It was a really close game. And then the Super Bowl, you gave Tom Brady the ball with 2 minutes left in a Super Bowl down by one score.
Yeah.
It's just horrifying.
Yeah.
But the Minnesota game was just fun,
man. It was fun.
And honestly, by the time you roll into the Super Bowl, you're playing with house money.
Yeah, of course.
Because you weren't expected to get past Atlanta. And then you definitely weren't expected to get past Minnesota.
Right. As soon as Wentz went down, everybody threw the playoff chances out the window.
Exactly. That Lions game. And so, you know, you beat Atlanta. Everybody runs on the field with the dog masks. You know, that becomes a thing. The Minnesota game was fun.
It was.
Man.
It was just fun.
It just, and like Minnesota walked down the field, scored on that first drive. And then the Eagles.
You're like, all right, we got a game.
Right. And then I think the Eagles went 3 and out. And then the Vikings went 3 and out. And then the Eagles came down and scored.
Well, I don't even know if they went 3 and out the first drive. Didn't Ajayi fumble like on the first possession or something?
Yeah, was that game? It was early in the game, yeah. And then that pick six, Patrick Robinson just turned the whole game around.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big play by, who was it? Chris Long.
Yeah.
Cause he hit
his arm.
He hit Cousins' arm.
No,
it was Keenum. It was Keenum. Yeah. It was Keenum.
He hit Keenum's arm. That turned the play. And like, as a Philadelphia fan, I was terrified. I didn't feel comfortable until the clock hit zero.
Right.
Because that's just how it goes.
Right.
I remember 2004 Tampa Bay. I remember 2004, the Flyers against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay hurt us that year. Thank God the Rays were awful.
We got our revenge against Tampa in 2008.
There you go. But 2004, you had Joe Girovicius in the NFC Championship game against the Eagles. That one still hurts.
Yeah.
And then you had Marty St. Louis and Vinny LeCavalier in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Game 7.
Yep. Oh, God, it was a bad year for Tampa Bay.
It was.
Anyway, so I didn't feel comfortable till the clock hit zero against Minnesota, but I started.
Even though you were up by like, you know, 30 points at that point.
Yeah, yeah, because I've seen it.
Yep.
And I haven't literally seen it, but I could, in my head, I could picture perfect, see it happen.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been something.
Ajayi fumbles.
Right, it could have been something.
Scooped up and run back.
It could have been something onside along the lines
kick,
of.
Bomb.
Right.
Onside kick, bomb. Game's tied.
It could have been something along the lines of the Super Bowl against, you know, with Atlanta and New England. I mean, New England.
Right.
It was 28-3 in the third quarter.
28-3, like deep in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I know. And that's why I didn't feel comfortable literally until the clock hit zero.
Right.
And that's the Minnesota game. That game's going to go down in history for me.
Yeah, it is. Did you hear the press conference that Doug Peterson had last week?
I did not.
He was asked something about the Jaguars. If you remember the Jaguars game against the New England, that playoff run.
The
playoff run that just happened. Jacksonville was up by a score or two.
They choked on it big.
Doug Peterson said something along the lines of like, you know, I watched that Jacksonville game, and Jacksonville had a wingle right where they wanted, but they got scared.
Yep.
They got scared, and it pissed me off. And from that moment on, I said, I will never do what they did.
Yep.
And you saw it in the Super Bowl.
And you know what he did?
You saw it in the Super Bowl.
He called the Philly special on
exactly.
4th and 6.
Exactly. So... Well, Nick Foles called the Philly special.
but Doug approved it.
Yep.
You've heard the mic'd up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you saw the conversation. Doug went.
You sure?
All right.
You sure?
All right.
Then he just saw something in him.
Yep.
But
now it's on bumper stickers and T-shirts across the Delaware Valley.
Right.
That little play diagram.
Yeah. But it was an interesting thing to hear him say that.
Yeah.
That like that pissed him off. And that fueled him to never be in that position. He's not gonna he basically said that they played not to lose.
Right.
They didn't play to win, they played not to lose.
Something that I'm not sure if people have said, but I'm gonna say it here, and this might be a hot take.
Oh, here comes one of your hot takes.
That was not Doug Peterson's last Super Bowl as an Eagles coach.
Okay. The last Super Bowl win or last Super Bowl appearance?
Win. It's not his last Lombardi trophy.
So you see more Super Bowls in the future of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Maybe not this year.
Maybe
not even next year.
I don't know.
Year.
Winning two in a row is tough.
I know.
Winning two in 3 years is tough.
Maybe not this year. Maybe not even next year. But honestly, part of that is the fact that I think Doug put a 10-year extension on his career.
Yes.
Because you won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia.
Right.
And I don't think they're ever going to fire him.
No.
So he's got plenty of time.
Yep. If Andy Reid lasted, 13 years and never won a Super Bowl?
Yeah. So, you know, Doug Peterson has 12 years of Carson Wentz if things go well.
Right.
That's a long window.
So assuming his legs and health and everything.
Right. That's, you know, assuming things go well. That's a long window.
Yeah.
And for Carson sure. Wentz has potential to be the greatest Eagles quarterback of all time.
I think it's a little premature.
I don't think so.
I mean, you're putting him up with the Cunningham, the Jaworskis, even McNabb.
He's not even up in McNabb's territory yet. But he's got potential to be.
Sure.
So, I mean, he should have been the league MVP. He still received first place votes, even missing the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season.
Right. Oh, because, I mean, he was, before he got hurt, he was almost a lock.
He was a lock. He was a lock.
It was him or Brady. Or even Gurley, but those were the three names.
If Carson Wentz had played 15 games, he had it locked up. Even if that injury happens later, right, if that happens in the second to last game, I think at that point he's got enough. He had enough of a lead that he would have won it.
Right.
So, anyway, I think the Eagles are going to go 10-6 this year.
There you go.
What about you?
I think that's fair. I don't have the schedule up, you know, anymore, but... I think 10 or 10-6 is probably fair.
Sounds about right.
It sounds about right. Maybe okay. I mean, give or take 9-7, 11-5. I mean,
one way or the other.
Right.
Maybe the old 10-5-1.
Right.
Throw a tie in there.
I hate ties.
Donovan McNabb doesn't think they exist.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yep. I wasn't sure what the rule was.
I was looking forward to having another chance to go out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I don't know. He's underrated by the Philadelphia Eagles community.
I think it ended.
It ended poorly.
It 100%. Ended on a sour note. Yeah. I think enough time has passed that we're good.
Yeah.
Now I still don't love him. I still have a little bit of ill will towards Donnie Mack, but at the same time, not nearly as much as towards the end of his career here.
Right.
When it ended poorly.
Yeah, 100%. But I don't think people say he's awful. He's a bad quarterback, and he's not.
I don't think people are saying that as much.
I think people get that a lot.
People said that right when he left,
and then you had the whole situation with him throwing up on the field. Right. And
exactly. I think enough time has passed that's not the prevailing wisdom anymore. Now, like, there might still be some people who think that about him.
Right, and then he had a couple DUIs.
But
I think people do look at the person, not so much the player, where people associate, kind of put them together.
The only thing that stung a little bit was when he went to Washington.
Yeah.
And, like, specifically went to Washington to stick it to the Eagles.
Yeah, but I like that competitive nature.
Yeah. No, right. I agree with you, and I don't really hold that against him.
Right.
But it did sting a little bit.
Speaking of that situation, have you heard Brent Celek at all recently?
No.
He said, because he's contemplating retiring, and apparently the Dallas Cowboys offered him a tryout. He said, I would rather retire than wear that star.
Good. Good for you, Brett.
So there you go.
Somebody else did that. An Eagles receiver in the 80s and 90s did that. I think it was Harold Carmichael.
It might have been.
He did the same thing. He kind of sort of contemplated retirement, got an offer for the Cowboys, signed for the Cowboys, went, played, only suited up for like 3 games that season or whatever. And before the first game, he said he looked at himself in the mirror and went,
What am I doing? Yeah, can't do
and
it.
And he retired after like the 3 games.
Nice.
He just got sick of it. He couldn't wear the stars.
Yeah.
So
there's loyalty there.
Absolutely. And especially in the 80s, 90s, the rivalry was way bigger than it is over the last decade or so.
But I don't know. The 80s was more of a Eagles-Giants rivalry.
Yeah.
He still hated the Cowboys, of course. Which is such a weird rivalry to me.
Especially when Buddy Ryan was there.
Right. It's such a weird rivalry to me because they're in Texas. Like, it's so far in the division. And I understand.
They're in the division.
But which is weird. They shouldn't be in the division.
No, I agree. That's the dumbest.
Like, bring Carolina and move Dallas to that division.
Right.
That would make a lot more sense.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else is in the Northeast that's not AFC. Like, the Patriots are the AFC. Pittsburgh's the AFC. Even, like, Cleveland is the AFC.
Buffalo is the AFC.
Baltimore, Buffalo. Yeah, Carolina's the one that makes the most sense.
Right. Move Carolina. Switch Carolina and...
And Dallas.
And Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, it should happen, but at this point, it's not.
Geographically, they're not going to do it anymore because it's become such a rivalry.
And honestly, in football, it's less important. Like in baseball, when you're traveling every day.
Right.
Or in hockey and basketball, when you're traveling 3 or 4 times a week, you don't want to be flying across the country. But in the NFL, you travel once a week.
Right.
On Thursday, you fly to Dallas. It's a 1 hour time difference. You're fine.
Right.
So that's going to just about do it for our Eagles talk today. You can let us know what you think the Eagles are going to do this year on Twitter at YWT Podcast. It's time to transition over into some hockey.
Yep.
So in our recent spirit of not telling each other what we're talking about.
We've done this a lot lately.
I have something to spring upon Mike today.
Turns out we're going in blind again.
Yeah. I think this is a good one, though.
Okay.
So I'm currently looking on capfriendly.com.
Uh-huh.
And according to capfriendly.com, Philadelphia Flyers have $10.3 million in cap space.
Yep.
They have 48 of their 50 contract spots allotted.
Okay.
Should the Philadelphia Flyers offer an offer sheet to William Nylander?
Should they?
Let's say it's 2 years, $8 million.
2 years, $8 million. So at $8 million,
Let's say it's 2 years, $6 million.
I don't have the compensation in front of me. So $6 million would probably cost you two first rounders.
It would cost you a first and a third.
A first
if
and a third.
If it's six flat, the cutoff for that is $6,088,980. So if it's $6.1 million, it costs you a first, a second, and a third.
2 years, $6 million.
2 years, $6 million. If it's $6 million flat, it would cost you a first and a third.
How much cap space does Toronto have? Because they have to be up against it after signing Tavares.
They still have a ton.
Do they really?
Yeah, they have a ton this year, but they're not going to have a ton next year when Matthews and Marner get deals. I'm going to look at Toronto's right now, but
so would I give up a first and a third for William Nylander? Yeah,
for Nylander for 2 years.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah.
And then I believe he'd still be
Toronto on has $13.3 million in cap space.
They really
this year
after just signing Tavares to $11 million.
Yep.
Wow.
They had it. Well, if you think about it, they got rid of Bozak,
Phaneuf,
yeah. JVR, Pollock. A ton of contracts came off their books. Yeah. So would you sign or at least attempt to, because obviously you don't know he's going to say yes.
Yeah, and you don't really see offer sheets anymore in the NHL.
No, you don't. The last big one was the Flyers, Shea Weber, 2012.
Yeah, there was another one right after that. I forget who it was for, I believe, Anaheim.
Yeah, but that was the big one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, while we're on this topic of conversation, by the way, other restricted free agents include Jordan Schmaltz, who I think would fit in really well as the Flyers 3C that we're looking for.
He's going to arbitration, too.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
And Noah Hanifin, who would slot in really, really well on the Flyers' top six.
Yeah.
Especially if you're looking to trade Travis Sanheim, which I've heard is a rumor floating around, by the way.
Really?
I've heard that his name is being mentioned in trade talks across the league.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what that includes. I don't know if that's Sanheim and Carlson, or Sanheim and Simmons for maybe a guy like Carlson, or... Right. You know, for one of these other guys who's expiring or whatever the case may be. But apparently Sanheim's name is being mentioned. You can replace him with a guy like Noah Hanifin. Now, Calgary probably matches. I don't know what Calgary's cap looks like.
I don't think it's all that much. And they just made the trade for Hamilton or for Hanifin. So he's not going anywhere.
To be fair, if Nylander accepts 2 years, $6 million, Toronto probably just matches it.
Right.
Right.
I'm reading an article right now that says that Toronto and Nylander are not even close in contract negotiations.
No, and the fact that we are 7 weeks along from the July 1st free agency period opening and no one's even put in an offer sheet.
Right.
Like, I wonder if other teams are even talking to him.
I don't know.
I hate the culture of just staying out of other teams' way.
Right, because they don't want it. GMs don't want it to hurt themselves down the line. Like, say Hextall puts in an offer sheet for, you know, Nylander. Well, right. The Toronto GM's going to get pissed and say, really? All right, you know, down the line, I'm not going to work with you because you cost me William Nylander.
Okay.
So a lot of the times, that's the reason, that's the thought process that goes through these guys' minds.
And when the Eagles... Or when the Flyers play the Maple Leafs in the Eastern Conference Finals and William Nylander scores 4 goals in that series, that also hurts you.
Right.
So it's like, I just don't understand the Like, no, I know. I get it, but at the same time...
They don't want to step on anybody's toes.
No, and it's the owners all playing nice with each other, and restricted free agency means nothing.
Right, essentially.
Because the team just still owns your rights.
Yeah.
And because they just own you, because no other team is going to make it fair market.
Right.
Right? It's almost unfair to the Players Association, because the player has no control. William Nylander can't go to another team and say... Hey, I'll sign a dirt cheap offer sheet, because then Toronto just matches it.
Right, exactly.
But if teams are willing to bid for his services, maybe there's a contract that Toronto doesn't match.
Yeah.
I think William Nylander, you sign William Nylander and this team is in the Stanley Cup Finals. Even with mediocre goaltending.
Yeah, probably. I mean, where would you slot him though? The third line?
Third line. Yeah.
The best third line winner in the game.
Probably the second line at that point. And
move
bumped
JVR down.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I forgot about JVR. Okay. So it's not going to happen. But let's just say the Flyers do sign William Nylander.
Uh-huh.
Your first line is Kutz, Claude, Konechny. Probably. Honestly, you might put Nylander on that line.
Maybe. And move Konechny to the third?
Yeah. Okay. Kutz, Claude, Willie Nee. Second line, Nolan, JVR, Jacob Voracek. Your third line is Travis Konechny, Scott Laughton, Wayne Simmonds. Your fourth line has Oscar Lindblom on it.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Uh-huh.
That's ludicrous. And you still have Provorov and Ghost, two of the best young defensemen in the league, on the back end.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen.
But
usually, if you were to sign an offer sheet, it would have happened already. So they're going to work towards a deal.
I agree, but you know what I'm talking about.
It's whether they can Toronto can afford him or not. Because they'll probably want 6, 7, 8 years, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 6, 7 million.
Do me a favor and look up the Dylan Larkin contract.
Dylan Larkin just signed his big... Yeah, it was 5 years. Right. It was 5 years for 6.1 mil per.
Right, and Pasternak just signed, I think, six years, seven million.
I think it was
6 years, 7 million. So a lot of the Toronto media is expecting Nylander to be somewhere between Pasternak and Larkin.
Yeah.
Which I think makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
So if that's the case, he's in somewhere in the 6.5 range. Now, if the Flyers come to him with a 2-year deal, so he'll still be an RFA when it's over. Right?
Yep.
Or no. Would that be his bridge deal to get him to UFA?
No.
He would still be an RFA. Let's say it's 3 years.
I think
years,
so. It depends what his service time is.
I think he's got 2 full years of service time.
So then, yeah, he'd still be an RFA.
He would still be an RFA.
I think you need 6, right?
I'm not sure. Anyway, okay, say make it 3 years then. Whatever gets him to his first season of UFA,
right?
It might be 4 years. I'd pay William Nylander for 4 years at $6 million.
I'd do it in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
100%.
Even if you give up a first and a third.
4 years, $6 million, Toronto probably matches that.
Yeah, but Toronto probably matches that. And then next summer, you got to re-sign Matthews and Marner.
Right.
And you got that $11 million Tavares. And I know they're not particularly worried about it. You and I had a conversation the other week about how much money the Flyers have coming off the books and why they could sign a guy like Carlson to a long-term deal. Toronto's in kind of a similar spot. Like, yes, they have a lot of money that they need to tie up. They also have some older players coming off the books. Like, I think Patrick Marleau's done after this year. And there's a couple other contracts that they have coming off the books that free up the space to let them sign these young guys.
Right.
But what do you think about this concept? Sign a Nylander. Now, like, obviously they're not...
I'm all for it.
Obviously, they're not going to do it at this point in the summer. But I hate the culture of just playing nice.
Yeah, I do too. Because, I mean, ultimately, you're in the game to win.
Right, exactly.
So if you play to win the game, you don't play to just play it. No, if you could better your team by adding a guy like William Nylander, I'm all for that.
Right. Other notable RFAs who are still without a deal, by the way, Shea Theodore.
I like Theodore a lot.
I do too.
But I expect him to sign in Vegas. I mean, they have the space.
They have a ton of space.
So I expect him to stay there.
Noah Hanifin, we talked about.
He's not going anywhere.
I know. Miles Wood in New Jersey.
I like Wood.
I do too, but I think he's gonna get like if he's gonna sign a big free agent contract, it's gonna be too big for what I want him for.
He's not gonna sign a big. He's gonna be minor. Okay. I like Wood's potential, but he hasn't shown me enough to really give him that sort of big contract.
Yep. And if you sign him, he's probably a fourth liner for you.
I think he's going to be, you know, a kind of 1 to 2, maybe 3 tops million dollars.
Okay. So
for a few years, but he's not going to get anything insane.
Honestly, that's a situation where I wouldn't mind putting an offer sheet in, even if it's like under the compensation threshold, right? Even if it's 1.4 or 1.3.
Just to see.
Right, because if New Jersey gets mad at you, who cares? They're in the division. Yeah, you're probably not dealing with them anyway.
Exactly.
And if they don't match, then great. You get a nice little fifth defenseman to take Radko Gudas' spot.
Right.
How about Sam Reinhart?
Is he an RFA?
Yeah. Who still has not signed in Buffalo.
I like Reinhart a lot. And he's probably going to play on that first line with Skinner, Eichel.
Maybe not the first line, but definitely in the top six.
I think because he played halfway through the year, he moved to Eichel's wing.
Yeah, he's played center. He's center and wing eligible.
He played on Eichel's wing for like the last half of the year and tore it up.
He had 49 points.
Yeah.
By the way, Nylander had 20 goals, 40 assists last season.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal.
Yeah. He's a good player.
Because if you go to Toronto, if you call Toronto and say, hey, we'll give you a first and a third for Nylander, they laugh you out of the building.
Right.
You sign that. You sign him to that sheet in a hurry.
Yeah.
Even if he wants more and it's a first, second, and a third, I'd probably do that too.
Yeah, I agree.
You think?
Yeah.
If it's 6.5. For
Nylander, 100%. Especially if you think you're going to be as good as people think, and West's going to be a 28, 29, 30 pick.
Yeah, and that threshold goes all the way up from 6.1 to 8.1.
Yeah.
So you got a big window in there where all it costs you is a first, a second, and a third.
Right.
And the Flyers do have all of their own picks in next year's draft, by the way. So they are eligible to make a move like this.
Right.
I specifically looked that up.
I would do it.
Okay. Sam Reinhart, would you give him 4 years by $5
million? Yep. 100%. Okay.
Do you think Buffalo matches that?
Probably. I love Sam Reinhart.
Okay. I agree.
I like what he brings. And like I said, he's going to be on the first line probably with Eichel and Skinner.
Right.
I mean, he has a chance to be close to a point per game player next year.
How about Darnell Nurse?
No.
He's only 23 years old, by the way.
Yeah, speaking of Donovan McNabb, it's his cousin.
Is it really?
Yeah. Or maybe not his cousin. Nephew, I think it is.
They're related
in some way. I think it's his nephew.
Nice. So would you sign Darnell Nurse for $2 million a year for 3 years?
One, they would probably match that.
Probably.
Two,
but they're in a little bit of cap hell.
I wouldn't give him any more. He hasn't really shown me anything that...
Well, no, you're not signing him. You're signing him to be either the worst guy on your top four or a top six guy.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I like his size.
Would you rather him or Andrew McDonald?
Probably Nurse just because of age and potential. Would you rather him or Radko Gudas? Probably him, yeah. Probably Nurse.
So you would sign him? Okay.
Sure, yeah. I guess.
Like comparing it to that, right? Like,
yeah. That's just because I want Radko Gudas as far as... from this team as possible after last year's playoff.
But if the Flyers are going to sign an RFA defenseman, how about Josh Morrissey?
I like Morrissey a lot.
Josh Morrissey tops off the Flyers' top four.
Yeah.
If you sign Josh Morrissey, your top four is Provorov, Ghost, Sanheim, Morrissey, Hag, and Gudas.
Or McDonald.
With the other one in the press box.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, I like Morrissey a lot.
Josh Morrissey's a stud, and Winnipeg's not going to let him go.
Probably not.
They just can't afford to. I also don't know
what their cap fee's like. I mean, they're going to have to pay Line A probably their next offseason.
Right. They have $10.2 million in cap space.
Yeah, so they could sign
him. They can match anything. Is Line A not already on his deal?
No, because Matthews isn't yet, is he? They came out in the same year.
You're right. Yeah, right. So you're right. Line A has 1 year left of his RFA. Yeah. So does Kyle Connor.
Yeah.
So they have two big contracts they need to sign next year.
Yeah, I think Scheifele just signed his last year.
Also, Andrew Kopp.
That's minor.
Blake Wheeler is a UFA next year.
That'll be interesting
to see.
That'll be interesting to see if he
signs there.
He could
John Tavares it.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
He could go test the market and make $10
million. Yeah.
Maybe not $10 million because he is a little on the old side.
7-8 maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
probably.
9. Yeah.
He was born in 1986. He's already 31.
So. Right. Blake, yeah, it's not a Tavares situation where he's 28 years old.
The contract Blake Wheeler signs is going to be a bad contract.
You think so?
Because someone will give him 6 years.
Yeah, but he could still play at that high level, though.
Not when he's 37, though. That's the thing. It might be You'll something, get 2 good years out of it. Right. Maybe a third.
It might be something similar to the Milan Lucic.
Yeah, and how bad is that contract?
Yeah, it's bad now.
Exactly. So how bad... I'm telling you.
Like, I think Wheeler, don't get me wrong, Wheeler's
a much better player than Milan
Lucic. Maybe 100 times better the player than Milan Lucic.
Milan Lucic is comparable to Wayne Simmons, right?
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did. Wayne Simmons is replaceable.
He is. I mean, you saw the season. You saw the season.
He was crippled.
That's his fault.
It doesn't matter. He was still injured the entire season. He had a torn pelvis.
Doesn't matter. I see what you do on the ice, and he wasn't up to par. And he was replaceable this season.
Other RFAs this year, by the way. Mm-hmm. The only other name I wanted to talk about was Nick Ritchie out of Anaheim.
He's all right.
Anaheim, they're in cap trouble just because they have the big two. They have Flurry and Getzlaff.
Yeah.
And they just signed Gibson to an enormous contract.
Did they?
Yeah, they signed him for 8 years.
Yeah, but you say enormous, but what's the cap?
Giving any goalie 8 years is...
No, and he's 23 years old. That's not awful.
He's 25.
It's still young for a goalie. That's like 12 for a goalie.
They signed him as an extension. So he's got 1 year left on a deal making $2.3 million. And it's 8 years, 6.4 per.
6.4.
Now.
That's a little high.
Now, if he's healthy, that's a steal.
Oh, right, of course.
That's a steal. Because John Gibson is a very good goalie.
He's a very good goalie.
But I could see them being in a little bit of cap trouble.
And has Raquel signed his contract yet? What's his contract look like?
Raquel has signed his contract 4 years, 3.79.
That's a steal.
That's a great deal.
That's a steal.
Yeah. Okay. Now you got Getzlaff and Perry 3 more years over 8.25.
Yeah, that's gonna hurt because I think Getzlaff still.
Kessler's got 4 years at 6.88.
I think Getzlaff and Kessler are still at the top of their games. They're not going down, at least not this year. I don't think.
Henrique has already signed an extension.
Perry's an interesting one because I think Perry. His production's gone down.
Yeah.
So him making over $8 million is rough. But the other two I still think are hell players.
Henrique has already signed an extension. He's got 1 year left at 4. Next year he jumps to 5.85.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
I could see it. It's a little much, but for how long? 4 years, you said?
5 years. Plus this year. So, you know, that deal will expire in 6 years.
Right.
Yeah, Nick Ritchie is an unsigned free agent.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get a ton of money. He's a third. He's a bottom six player. At least right now, he is.
Yeah.
So,
although them signing Braden or Luke Shen 1 year, $800K.
That's a minor deal then.
Yeah, but he's going to be their sixth defenseman, and if Shen plays well, that's a good deal. Shen can play well. He's not very good
anymore.
No. Also, Cam Fowler is making 6.5 for the next 8 seasons.
Cam Fowler's a good player. I think he's very underrated.
Hampus Lindholm is making 5.2 for the next 4 seasons.
That's a steal because I think Lindholm's one of the best defensemen in the league.
Josh Manson is making 4.1 for the next 4 seasons.
Their defense core is making a lot
of money tied up. Brandon Montour is on an RFA deal. He's got 2 years left at 3.4. Right.
But like I said, Richie's not going to get a ton.
Okay.
He's not the type of player.
Would you sign him 2 years, $4 million?
I don't know because I don't really know where you'd slot him.
He's your 3C.
You got Lawton.
He's your 4C.
Am I going to pay a fourth line center $4 million?
If you sign him for 2 years, you have 10.3 in cap space.
Yeah, but now you're just signing people just for shits and giggles just to sign them.
Not really. This guy, the big question right now, one thing we didn't talk about, by the way, Sean Couturier is out for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be 4 weeks, it sounds like. Yeah, he's going to be back. I mean, again, with the whole, we talked about how Eagles Twitter... This guy was
blows things out of proportion.
Right, the Flyers Twitter is mourning the death of Sean Couturier.
Yeah, Hextall expects him back to 100% before the end of the preseason.
Right, like, so he'll be fine. Flyers Twitter,
right?
Flyers universe, he'll be fine.
Hextall expects him to miss the first couple of preseason games, and then by the third or fourth, he'll be back at full strength.
And people just love to overreact.
Yeah, well, we're in that time of the year where any news is big news, just because there's so little of it overall.
I guess.
Either way, I think Coots is going
to
be fine.
Let's go back to talking about movies. That interests me more.
Yeah, tell me again how Miracle is the best sports movie of all time. Left Hoosiers off the list.
You know,
and remember the Titans.
I hate it. I'm not getting
into
this
again. Do
you
really want to talk about movies again?
No, I was kidding.
Because I'm just going to yell at you.
Okay.
Anyway.
Let's find a different topic.
Why don't we just get out of here?
I was having fun.
Yeah, I know, but you know, got to save some for next week. I have an idea that I want to talk to you about off the air for maybe something we can do before the Flyer season starts.
Like what? Can we tease it now or no?
Before the Flyer season starts.
Okay.
So we'll go through that next week on the show. In the meantime, you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can also find me at K Collington and Mike at Mike underscore Giletto. You can also find the show on Instagram, Facebook, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, and lastwordonsports.com. You can follow you follow the show. Yeah, I already said that. Our logo was created.
Not get a lot of sleep last night?
No. Our logo was created for us by Ben at BennyTheJet55 or at FuzzForge. Although we may be in the process of looking for a new logo.
We're looking for it, so we'll see.
We're working on that. You can let us know what you think at YWT Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
For now, it's just the show and just the content that you're hearing right now. But in the future, there might be some bonus content.
Yeah, and hopefully I remember to upload it, you know, when the show goes live instead of like Thursday. Later.
Yeah, I hope so too. And on that note, we'll see you next week.
Ten and six. You heard it here first.